Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Hello, I'm Alan Stanford, and welcome to Macbeth in Monaghan. And now Vincent Lee of St. McCartan's College, Monaghan, is going to give you a sample answer to a question on Macbeth.
The question I'm going to talk about is how Shakespeare uses imagery in Macbeth to express, develop, and illustrate his themes. For example, he uses images of darkness and storm, images of clothing. Now does he feel his title hang loose about him like a giant's robe upon a dwarfish thief. Animal images appear frequently in the play too. Duncan's horses, turned wild in nature, broke their stalls. The natural order is breaking down. But it is images of blood that dominate the play from first scene to last. I will talk about images of blood under six headings. First of all, blood as a physical entity in the play. Then blood as a symbol of the subversion of the norm. Thirdly, blood as a symbol of guilt. And then blood images reconfigured to symbolise the internal drama of the play. Fifthly, blood as a symbol of royal virtue. And then blood as a symbol of Macbeth's predicament at a pivotal moment in the play. Now, blood as a physical entity in the play. In the opening scenes of the play, blood is evident as a physical presence that is talked about and witnessed. Duncan's first question is, what bloody man is that? We hear of brave Macbeth, whose sword smoked with bloody execution. A sergeant tells of reeking wounds as his own gashes cry for help. The opening scenes are swimming in human blood. Macbeth and Banquo cut swathes through the ranks of their enemies and win the favour of their king and countrymen. While the generals are undoubtedly motivated by their fervent patriotism, nevertheless, it appears that they have been taken over by some form of bloodlust, so fond are they of dismembering the bodies of their fallen enemies. In the second paragraph, we see blood as a symbol of a subversion of the norm. As she awaits the return of her husband from battle, Lady Macbeth prays to evil spirits that they may eradicate all feminine traits of gentleness and pity from her nature. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. This represents a subversion of the norm, where we would expect Lady Macbeth to harbour nurturing thoughts aimed at sustaining life rather than destroying it. The blood motif which she draws upon illustrates the tremendous force of will that pulsed through her. And then in the third paragraph, we'll discuss blood as a symbol of guilt. While the letting of blood was apparently the norm for Macbeth in battle, it is ironic that he shudders physically after he had witnessed the king's lifeblood ebb away. This is a sorry sight. His murderous hands are now these hangman's hands, which he fears will incarnadine or make red all great Neptune's ocean. Blood is now an awful symbol of guilt for Macbeth, the murderer. Another great irony of the play is that Lady Macbeth has apparently no fear of blood at the time of Duncan's murder and scorns her husband's cowardice for not going back to smear the grooms with it. A little water clears us of this deed, she declares. My hands are of your colour, but I shame to wear a heart so white. Yet, when we meet her in Act 5, she has become a mental wreck as she tries to remove the imaginary spots of blood from her hands. Out, damned spot, out, I say. Her mind is now obsessed with her vision of blood. Who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him? The images of blood have now risen to haunt her and ultimately drive her to her death. And then we see how blood images are reconfigured to symbolise the internal drama of the play. It is of much significance in the play that as Macbeth sinks into the depravity of regicide, blood images are reconfigured to occupy the interior spaces of the play. By that I mean that they become part of the drama going on within Macbeth's mind. As he contemplates the murder of Duncan, he hallucinates about a dagger which hovers in the air before him. He wonders, is it real, or if it is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes? But one thing is clear as the dagger materializes more vividly before him. Gouts of blood decorate its handle. the blood of Duncan that he is about to shed. His guilt has already begun to seep into his mind. And this mental drama continues when the ghost of the murdered Banquo comes to terrify him at the banquet. "Never shake your gory locks at me," he commands. These images of blood are so vividly realized in the mind of Macbeth that they become almost visible to the audience too. "It will have blood," they say. "Blood will have blood," is Macbeth's horrified conclusion as his banquet ends in chaos and his guests beat a hasty retreat. But then blood is seen as a symbol of royal virtue in the play also. Having rushed to the murder chamber and killed the sleeping grooms, he returns and explains his actions to the shocked gathering. "Here lay Duncan, his silver skin laced with his golden blood, and his gashed stabs looked like a breach in nature. There the murderers, steeped in the colours of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore. Who could refrain that had a heart to love?" The red blood of guilt had become the golden blood of the virtuous king. And in this moment, Shakespeare has managed to encapsulate the essential drama of the play, the deviation from virtue to vice. Blood is also seen as a symbol of Macbeth's predicament at the pivotal moment in the play. At the end of the banquet scene, Macbeth arrives at a pivotal moment in his life. This occurs when he realizes for the first time the extent of his own predicament. He has murdered the king. He has had Banquo assassinated. Where does he go from here? He comes to the conclusion that he must continue on the same path of murder as before. "I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er." By Act 5, the Wheel of Fortune has turned and brought the tyrant to his knees. What a pity for him that he hadn't taken heed of his own warning, which he had issued before he murdered Duncan. "We would teach bloody instructions, which being taught return to plague the inventor." So we have seen blood used throughout the play as a physical entity, as a symbol of the subversion of what is normal, as a symbol of guilt, as a symbol of the internal drama of the play, as a symbol of royal virtue, and as a symbol of Macbeth's essential predicament in the play. And in conclusion then, it is no wonder that with the predominance of the blood motif throughout the play, Shakespeare decides to end it with one more gruesome bloody picture. In Act 5, Scene 8, Macduff appears on the battlefield, holding aloft the severed head of Macbeth. The wheel has come full circle. The usurper's cursed head will no doubt decorate the battlements of the victor's castle, just as Macdonald's had in Act 1. The bloody instructions have indeed returned to plague the inventor.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.